So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 1, text number 15. Jayatam Suto Pangur, Mamananda Matirgati, Matsava Svaparam Bhujo, Ramana Mohana. Jayatam, all glory to.
Surato,
most merciful,
or attached in conjugal love.
Pango,
of one who is lame.
Mama,
of me.
Mandamate,
foolish.
Gati,
refuge.
Ma,
my.
Sarvasva,
everything.
Parambhujo,
whose lotus feet.
Radha Madana Mohana.
Radharani and Madan Mohan.
Translation. Glory to the all merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. So I want to speak on three verses that are here in sequence, and this was the first one. So the second one is Divyat Vrindana Kalpadrumada Srimadratnagara Srimasamastu Srimadratnagara Srilagovindadevo Pristalibi Sevyaman Smarani. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon the effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sri Vandarasara Sarangi, Vansi Vatra Tatastita, Kershan Vinashwane Gopi, Gopinata Sriyeshtunaha. Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasadan, stands on the shore in Vansivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. These three deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath, have absorbed the heart and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. Purport. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita offers his respectful obeisances unto the three deities of Vrindavan, named Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radha Govindadev, and Sri Radha Gopinathji. These three deities are the life and soul of the Bengali Vaishnavas, or Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who follow strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worship the divinity by chanting transcendental sounds meant to develop a sense of one's transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord, a reciprocation of mellows, ras, of mutual affection, and ultimately the achievement of the desired success in loving service. These three deities are worshipped in three different stages of one's development. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scrupulously follow these principles of approach. Purport continues. So here, in this portion, we see the description of the three deities in Vrindavan, of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Vrindavan is the spiritual world, as we know. But somehow or other, that spiritual world is covered by a layer of yoga maya energy, the illusory energy of the Lord. Still, the spiritual nature of Vrindavan is coming through that layer of yoga maya. So we can experience it, but not fully in the conditioned state. We cannot actually see the real Vrindavan. For example, they used to ask Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about his preaching plans. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, we will build many, many temples everywhere. And the devotee said, this is very nice, but how are we going to pay for all that? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, if I take one brick from the spiritual world, that will be plenty. That will be plenty to pay for everything. One touchstone, that will pay for everything. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gave us some insight in the Holy Dham. When we looked at Kesigat, at pictures, we see that there is a palace made of sandstone, and then sandstone, red sandstone steps going down into the Yamuna. And a little marble temple on the site was supposed to be the spot where Kesi was killed, where he's worshipped. And every evening they offer an aarti to the Yamuna there at Kesigat. And it's very nice. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a whole different description of Kesigat. He said Kesigat is all made of gold and jewels. Yeah. We didn't see that, we saw sandstone. But he saw jewels. Who is seeing the reality? Is he imagining things, or are we imagining things? What is the reality? Prabhupada sometimes spoke like that. We look at the paintings, the pictures on the wall, and we look at the windows. And Prabhupada said, these are windows to the spiritual world. These give the real thing. Here is seeing reality. And when we look out of what we call the windows, we look at illusion. That's false. What we see out there through those glass windows. You may think that's sky, that's trees, that's real. No, that's false. That's illusion. This is real. No. That's a picture. This is a window. So it takes some adjustment on the spiritual plane to appreciate. We cannot. We cannot do that immediately. Maybe intellectually, theoretically, we sort of can accept it. Because after all, the material world, it's real, but it's all temporary. Therefore, you never really look at anything constant. Everything always changes. When you look early morning in the mirror and you say, good morning, handsome. And you see the old familiar face, you know. That's me, same old me. Wrong, not same old me. It's a new face you're looking at, a face you've never seen before. This face, it may look a little similar to the face you saw yesterday, but it's like that, those two things in the newspaper, you know, like two pictures, they are the same, but find the 15 differences between the two pictures. You know those games? Yeah. You have to find the 15 differences, and if you look carefully, there are 15 differences from yesterday. The cheeks are a little more puffy. The bags under the eyes are definitely a bit bigger than they were last night. The teeth have turned yellow since last month. And well, hair started growing in places where you thought they would never. In this way, changes have appeared. This is the nature. So nothing in the world remains the same. Everything is always changing. So in that sense, whatever we see, it's not real, because it never is. It's always changing. As they say, the river is always flowing. So what is the river? You can't really say what the river is, because just as you've defined, this is the river, it's already changed. So, everything is a river. So, in that way. The Vaishnavas are saying, the material world is temporary, but the spiritual world is ever-present. Ever-present. So, in this particular topic here that we are discussing are the three deities of Vrindavan. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, They know that we can never perceive Vrindavan by simply trying to go there. If we try to go to Vrindavan and we try to relate to the Dham and try to see the spiritual world and try to see Krishna, it's not possible. One will never see that way. One must go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly sent Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami there with the purpose of revealing the holy Dham in the spiritual world. And they were doing that in two ways. They were doing that through writing books, and they were doing that by excavating various places where Krishna performed his pastimes, places that were forgotten. So the whole idea was that gradually one would understand the spiritual world. So the three deities of Vrindavan, which were installed under the direction of Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they are depicting spiritual life or Krishna at different levels of realization. The first deity, Madan Mohan, is Krishna in the form of the one who attracts everyone's mind. Krishna who can attract our mind, Krishna who can actually take us away from material things to the spiritual platform. Madan Mohan, he can bewilder our mind and take over. It's a fact that once you know, once you have transcendental knowledge, how can you close your eyes? Once you know about Krishna, how could you be an ordinary person? Prabhupada said, and they think one life is all there is? Could you think about that, that you have to do everything in this one life? No wonder they're in so much anxiety. No wonder they're trying to enjoy at all sides at the same time, right? Two drinks with two straws and earphones on the head at the same time and just go strong, you know. Drink it in. Time is running fast. There is no a second to waste. Enjoy now. Before it's too late. Before you're old and worn out. Now, to the fullest extent, enjoy your senses. Of course, people have tried. And otherwise, I gradually... They started off and I think, what's wrong with my back? So, yeah. Anyway, so once you know about Krishna, once you know about devotional service, how can you go back? Once you know about prasadam, how can you live without? In Heidelberg, Germany, some years ago, they had rented a bigger temple, but then they opened a farm nearby, and all the people were getting married in the temple, so they all moved to the farm, and then the result was that the city temple was closing. And there was a restaurant in there, and it closed. So many people used to go every day to the restaurant, and then there was no more restaurant, and no more temple. So they were walking around. And then about 10 years later, they opened up a little shop, and it was a gift shop, and it had a counter with prasadam. And somehow or other, all these people, they found it. And they came, as if they came walking out of the desert. Where were you? Oh, the sky. Give me three of those, and four of those, and six of those, and yes. And they came back to life. How could we leave Krishna consciousness? It is impossible. Once you know, you cannot. It's not possible. Some people tried. There was one person, one boy, he tried to leave Krishna consciousness and he didn't want to know devotees, he wouldn't speak to anyone, didn't want anything to do with it. And then 3 years it was like that, and then he wrote a book. How can God be a blue boy? Question mark. So that was funny. And then I said, see, you still have to write a book about Krishna. That's how it is, you know. You can't forget Krishna. Madan Mohan, he steals away. He steals our mind. Krishna steals everything. Krishna is a thief, didn't you know? So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna steals the mind. Krishna steals the eyes. No, it's all the senses Krishna steals. Yes, he does. Then in the end, what can you do? Yes, so this is Madan Mohan, the attractor of Krishna. That deity, of course, is now no longer in Vrindavan because Muslims were getting destructive in Vrindavan and were smashing deities and were cutting heads of pujaris. So, what to do? They moved to Rajasthan. So that's where the deities are now, in Karoli, Rajasthan. And if you see Madan Mohan, you see they have a nice smile, big smile, quite attractive. So, Madan Mohan is representing the topic of Sambandha. Sambandha means to make the connection with Krishna. It's not so easy to make the connection with Krishna. It takes quite something to make the connection with Krishna. It's because we come in with, we bring some things with us, some conditioning with us. And this is sort of the theme that I want to deal with this weekend. With, first of all, I want to begin with Sambandha. Sambandha to make the connection with Krishna. And not just casual, but to make it deeper, to make it strong, to make it solid, and to, in such a way that we become firmly fixed in devotional service. So, connection with Krishna means connection with Krishna's devotees, means connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means connection with the six Goswamis, means connection with the teachings of the six Goswamis, like that. The next deity that is described is Govinda. Govinda, he is the Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita who instructs Arjuna. That is Govinda. So he's the instructor. He's explaining, Govinda, the instructor. He's the teacher. He gives us knowledge. He teaches us the process, Govinda. So therefore Govinda is the presiding deity of Abhideya. Abhideya is referring to the process, the purification, how we can gradually attain the goal. And then Gopinath, the laureate of the gopis who is performing the rasa dance and so on, Prayojana. Prayojana, the goal of Krishna consciousness, love of God. So I thought in this weekend to look at Krishna consciousness through these three steps, the steps of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And that's why I now chose this verse, because otherwise, I save time like that. And I laid a foundation, a philosophical foundation, for what we're going to do. These three deities are worshipped in three different stages of one's development. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scrupulously follow these principles of approach. Gaudiya Vaishnavas perceive the ultimate objectives in Vedic hymns composed of transcendental letters that adore Krishna as Madan Mohan Govinda in Gopi Jana Bhagava. Madan Mohan is he who charms Cupid, the god of love. Govinda is he who pleases the senses and the cows. And Gopi Jana Bhagava is the transcendental lover of the gopis. Krishna himself is called Madan Mohan. Govinda and Gopi Jana Bhagava are countless other names as he plays in his different pastimes with his devotees. The three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopi Jana Bhagava, have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mahan is on the platform of re-establishing a forgotten relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, we are presently in utter ignorance of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Panimbo refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength, one who is lame. And Mandamate is one who is less intelligent because he is too absorbed in materialistic activities. It is best for such persons not to aspire for success, not to aspire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation, but instead to simply surrender to the Supreme. So this is the fact that see, less intelligent. Why less intelligent? Because it is said the intelligence becomes captured. The materialistic householder is referred to as the Griha Meda. And the Meda is a wooden beam which sits on an axis, and a bullock is tied to that, and the bullock is walking in circles, right? And they put a stone on it or something for grinding grains, or a pump for water or something like that. So the bull is walking in circles, the Meda, he's tied to this boom, this beam. So the Griha ladies, they are walking in circles, right? In circles around their household life. And the whole, that becomes the world, right? That becomes it. Our family, that's it. Our little, that is our whole universe. Everything is in there. And that's it. And a little extension, some excursion, some here and there. But in this way, gradually, we become ksudratma, small-minded, very small. Our whole consciousness becomes reduced and reduced, becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Our circle becomes smaller. So in Krishna consciousness, the circle must extend. The circle becomes bigger and bigger, little by little. It grows, little by little. The circle of our love has to grow. In the beginning, well, where is the circle of our love? Mostly ourselves. Yes. I mean, who do you love the most? Well, you know, like really, wow. A photo of me, right? And a photo of Krishna. Can I see that photo? We are very focused on ourselves. We are very important. Our whole culture is also like that. We are most important. So gradually the circle has to extend to others, and ultimately the circle has to become all-inclusive. Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhaho, means that I am the source of everything, material and spiritual, everything. So Krishna is the source of everything spiritual and material. It means that if you love Krishna, Prabhupada explains, then you must love everything. Okay? Then you must love everything, because you see everything is part of Krishna. Right? So if you love Krishna, you must love his creation, automatically. You cannot love Krishna and hate his creation, because that's also part of Krishna. Therefore, you must love everything and everyone. So this is the, this is really the goal. To develop this loving mood, and it is called premanjana, loving eyes, and that is really the goal, to develop such loving eyes. When we develop loving eyes, everything looks different. See, now we don't have loving eyes, so therefore, at present, either we we feel strong, we hate, right? I hate rain, I hate. Right? So many things you can hate. Right? I hate flies. You know, Australia. You know. Examples like that, to just name something, you know. I'm not too fond of mosquitoes either. Right? I must admit, although someone told me, just to sort of bewilder my mind, that in one Purana it is mentioned that Krishna appears in all the 8,400,000 species, and that Krishna even appears in one incarnation as a mosquito. Please don't spin me. Or, I'll take some blood, Krishna, no problem. You can take. I don't know what Krishna would be like as a mosquito. That goes, that's inconceivable to me. I can't. Anyway, we are relating to Govindam Adipurusham, the original Supreme Lord who plays the flute very attractive. Yes.
So,
like this, we are, you always learn something new every day. The point, though, is that we develop these loving eyes, and then everything becomes very wonderful, because you see behind everything Krishna, and Krishna is wonderful. But if you don't see Krishna everywhere, then, you know, sometimes when you don't have such strong feelings, then you just sort of, you're there. And you want to come and you want to see the quarry, it's filled up with water and it's a lake. And if you walk fast, it's only 20 minutes. That's okay. Yeah. But, you know, it's really beautiful. Yeah. No, but we could go for a swim. Well, maybe there's crocodiles, or maybe there's leeches. You don't want to really go there and have a good time. That's really good. Well, you know, what's wrong with you? I am bored. You know, I am totally bored. Right? Yes, there was a picture, a cartoon of a monk who lived in a monastery. And he had to cut the grass with a lawnmower, and on the grass he wrote with big letters, God, I am bored. Right? So, is spiritual life like that? Is it like that? Is it that it is dry and that we deny ourselves so many things? And does it have to be like that? Huh? That religion means not allowed. Nietzsche responded to this, and Nietzsche said, and God created the world, and there was a big explosion, and from that explosion hot lava was shooting in all directions, and the nebula, the original nebula, cooled down and gradually formed into hard mass, and planets came about, and life came into the ocean, and gradually it evolved, and came, grew legs, and crawled onto the land, and there living beings came about, and eventually mankind came into existence, and then, yes, then mankind lived initially in primitive ways, but gradually in, and man was trying to enjoy, but it wasn't easy, because everything that man tried to enjoy, there was some suffering built in. Prabhupada says, sand in the sea dries. In the more Vedic philosophy, you have the trisam, that is the trident, and it's always the trident of Durga Devi. And the trident of Durga Devi, the threefold miseries from body and mind, miseries from the neighbors, and miseries from the demigods, right? All these miseries, they will always be there, right? Even in this seat, you know, I can feel it sort of like the pinch, you know, something. Well, it's soft and cushy, but something. this is called love, you know. There's always that little pinprick, you know what I mean? Just that little stone in your shoe, you know. You buy these really good sports shoes, right? Really, like special springs in them and everything, you know. And they even give light, you know, and you walk around and bounce around, and there's just that little stone inside. Yeah. That's the material world, you know. It's just like that. Years ago also I went to Benares, you know, that was before I was a devotee, and I wanted to meditate. So I came to the Ganga, and I sat down at the Ganga, sort of romantic time, and just at the beginning of the evening, and there was earth, water, fire, air, ether, it was all there. The monkeys were flying in from all sides, and you know, that was the end of meditation. So much for meditation. Yeah. So in this material world, there's always a monkey or always something like that. That's the nature of the material energy. So man, Nietzsche says, man was trying to enjoy. It was difficult. And then it didn't work. So man was thinking, it must be because I'm sinful. So he invented religion. And in the name of religion, he gave up even the little bit of enjoyment that he could have. And man lived a life like that. Gave his whole life and didn't enjoy it all. And God looked down upon it all. And then decided to let two universes collide and just finish off the whole thing. And he said, it was a good game. We'll do it again. So they make God, Nietzsche makes God out to be some sort of bored emperor who plays with people. But he does raise the question of why in religion is there so much denial? Yeah. Not allowed. Yeah. Everything is forbidden. Forbidden fruits, forbidden. Sorry, can't eat, you know. You go to your mother, would you like a cup of, no thanks, that'd be alright. Yeah. Then instead a cup of, no, that's okay, we don't take any cups of those or that either. Would you like some juice? Can I read the label? No, that will be all right. I'll give it a miss. No, that's okay. I cut some fruit for you. Yes, but, you know, no, sorry, I can't have it. But it's fruit. It's vegetarian. Yes, but you cut it with the knife and the kitchen. I mean, yeah, but, you know, I'm your mother. You know, what can you do? You know, you're a sinful meat eater. I cannot take a bite from your kitchen. It does create dilemmas in Krishna consciousness. It does, you know. Starving. Pull over at the petrol pump, you know. Is E420, is it okay? Or was it E421? Was it made of crust beetles? Or what was it, you know? Yes, you know. This cheese, is it vegetarian? Or is this the one with Indian lice on the outside? Indian lice? Yes, I read it, the Vegetarian Society published it, that Indian lice are being used for cheese to make it more glossy on the outside. I never knew it. India exported them. I have seen sometimes, you know, in the village, some people. But I didn't know it was a business. Just joking. Don't take it personal. Yeah. Teasing a little. Yeah. But I was shocked when I saw on the cheese Indian lice. lies. Oh my geez. And that's E number so and so. So it's good to know your E numbers, you know, because I don't know, but lies is So in this way, it's not easy, right, to live like a devotee, you know. You cannot eat anything. I'm on the plane, and everybody has his own TV screen, and there's 30 different movies, and I'm trying not to watch. Of course, you know, I can put my head over my glasses like this. But I can still see through the hole. Spider-Man, wow! That was close, eh? He stopped the train, can you believe it? That's pretty, pretty far out. It's so difficult, right? Imagine you have to chant your rounds in a room with a TV. Yeah? It's very difficult. And TV is all in a room in the chain. That's how it goes. You chant in a room with a TV, it's very tough. And very tough. So the mind is like a TV. The mind is a TV. That's really what the mind is. It's just a TV. And it's playing all the time. And it has a series. Mm-hmm. It has a favorite. That is a regular that plays all the time. And it's called Starring Me.
Yeah.
That one is big. A very popular series. And you know, I keep on watching Hare Krishna. People worshipping natural. So this is very, very difficult. So in the beginning, spiritual life in Sambandha is all that struggle. We're struggling with the TV, you know, and trying to chant, and there's a TV at the same time, and how do you deal with all this? So later in the day, we'll sort of start dealing with it. This is not just the now is the warm up, but later in the day we will be experimenting, and it's going to be more than just sitting and falling asleep and trying to stay awake. Right? It's like we're not just going to look at the sheep. You know, you have to even shear a sheep yourself. You know, and to put it in Australian terms, you know. Here we have to, we're going to become active. Yeah. Let's see how active, but that will happen. So, Abhideya, the process, yes, we look at the six Goswamis. They're teaching us on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without, we can't do it. Priyojana, that will then be a gift from Krishna, because love you cannot force. You cannot say, you know, you have to love, you know, you have to love this strawberry. You have to love it. You have to. Yeah. Oh, strawberry, how I love you, how I love you. You can try. Bring it out from the heart. I love you. You say it in different ways, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You cannot fake it. It comes or it doesn't. It's something that emerges from the heart, or it's just not happening. Yeah? And that's why you have so many stories, you know. I don't love you anymore. Yeah? And finished. It's gone. It disappeared. So, love gods cannot be artificially faked. You cannot sit in front of the deities, oh, Krishna, Krishna. And cry tears and bring your tissues when it's not coming from the heart. So, how to cultivate love of God? Can it be cultivated? Well, it can if you want to love someone. Maybe first you should get to know someone. That would help, maybe. And as you get to know someone, maybe first appreciate someone. That could help, right? The more you start, the more we appreciate, the more we can develop love for a person, naturally. So there is a way that we can do it. So if we start to know Krishna and then appreciate Krishna, then gradually, maybe, if we get some mercy, we may develop some love. And once you have love of God, who cares? It is said, one who wears the shoes of satisfaction doesn't feel any thorns on the path. So, then you're satisfied. So this is the trick. So, I've shortly sketched Sambandha, Abhideya, Priyojana to make the connection with Krishna, to establish the relationship, to follow the process of purifying ourselves and to attain the goal, love of God. With that, we will start to play on a deeper level today. Meanwhile, there's a few minutes left for questions or comments.
When you get, like, sometimes, like, after a big kirtan or harinam, something like that, you just feel like on a different cloud, like ecstatic and like wearing the shoes of satisfaction. But then you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning.
And you don't want to.
Yeah, we then have the shoes.
It's not true. I'm sick. Yeah, like that, huh? Yes, we can maintain. But still, it's Krishna's mercy. It's not ordinary. Even if this is temporary, then we still see it's temporary, the feeling of ecstasy may be temporary. But what stays, something stays from it. Because a little attachment to such ecstasy states, right? And you'll be forced to do it again, you know. Sooner or later, right? You're going to do it again. You're going to do another kirtan. You're going to try again. Right? It may not always work. You know, sometimes you're just going to have an ecstatic kirtan. You're going to try to have an ecstatic kirtan and it doesn't quite work. Sometimes you have festival organizers, you know, and they write on the schedule this and this and this, and then they write ecstatic kirtan, right? It doesn't work, you know. Then you try and everyone is like, assembled, the best kirtan mirrors are there, you know, they have their special spiffy drums with buttons that for tuning it and little racing gloves, you know, like so that the hands don't crack, you know. You know, getting really ready, like, and then, you know, the singers are gurgling their throats. Days been practicing in the bathroom and finally ready to let loose. Go, we're gonna do it. Right? But it doesn't, it may get fired up, but the ecstasy is not always coming. You can't order it. And then other times, unexpectedly, just bam, there it is, you know, it's happening and it's that old taste again. And relish, right? And you become an addict. So, this is how it is. And the funny thing is, it stays like that. Even later in spiritual life, you can never, ever take it for granted. Just when you think, and now I've got Krishna, he's gone. He was here. Where did he go? What happened? Krishna! This happened to the gopis as well. In the Rasa dance, they thought, oh, you know, Krishna, we can wrap him around our finger. Krishna is completely under our control. Srimati Radharani tried to test it and said, oh, I'm tired, I cannot walk any longer. Can you carry me? Krishna said, yes. And then, whoop, disappeared. So this is the, one has to always earn the mercy again. The only thing is this, is that as we get more advanced, we cannot tolerate the
Sadhguru to give directions, and by the time he reaches that guru, he is already dead, but he has got four things for him to do, which he does. That is the Sri Bhashya of the Brahma Sutras, because defeating the Sarirata Bhashya of Shankaracharya, he writes his book, he establishes the 108 temples. You know, all that whatever the guru wants to do is done. Then in South India, what happens is the king becomes a Shaiva. When the king becomes a Shaiva, then he wants the whole country to become Shaiva too. So Shiva Bhakta. So what happens is they know that Ramandev is a very, very powerful Vaishnava preacher. So they say, convert this fellow. Once you convert Ramandev, then you converted the whole of South India. So they send the soldiers to go and get him. When that happens, one of his very, very closest disciples by the name of Kuresh. Now he gets wind of it. So he knows, these guys are coming. So he tells Ramanujan, you better escape. We need you. We can't lose you. You better go. So Ramanujan is reluctant. He doesn't want to go, but they all say, you have to go. He said, what will happen here? He said, I will pretend to be you. Anyway, the stupid soldiers won't know. I'll pretend to be you, and he is a grahastha. So I'll pretend to be you, and you go away. She escapes. Ramanujan escapes. So Kuresh becomes, and he says, yes, I am Ramanujan. He is second to the king, South Indian king. And he thinks, okay, he must announce that, Lord Shiva is supreme, and he refuses. And they close his eyes. Kuresh is both the eyes and gone. They actually blind him. This will teach you. Of course. Then, meanwhile, when Ramanujan escapes, he has gone to what is known as Karnataka today, Melkote. It's a place called Melkote. And he escapes there. And this Melkote is full of all tribals. They were like cannibals, they were eating humans. He landed in a group like that, and he converted them to become Vaishnavas. They all became such great Vaishnavas. They considered themselves like, this Melkote Vaishnava. Even today, Melkote Iyengars, they call themselves. They consider themselves the most perfect, even more perfect than the origin, the South Indian ones. It's a way. How you could do this, and you were so powerful you could do this. It's similar, like Prabhupada went to the West and he gave this Vaishnavism to the Westerners. And Westerners think that they are better Vaishnavas than the Indians. To a certain extent it's true too, we can't deny it. But there is a similarity, we can see the similarity. So he went to Melkote and he made them Vaishnavas, and then he came back, of course, much later when the process he came back. Of course, he saw his guru, his disciple was blind, he was very unhappy. And Kuresh was somebody who was very, very calm. He could actually speak to the deities directly. So Ramananda said, go and ask, tell Vishnu you want your sight back. He said, no. He said, yeah, I'll do that. But he doesn't want to ask. He won't ask. Because there's one thing he never asked. So finally, every time Ramananda sees him and his disciple is blind and he's not happy about it. So one day you tell him, okay, you don't want to ask something for me. Can you ask something for me? So he said, yes, sure. There is a position of mind which is like the right words, which is like tarnish, and I want it better, or I want it, improved. Like that, Ramanuja uses words, a position of mind has been damaged. Can you please repair it for me? So Kuresh says, yeah, I can go and tell him. So he thought, some other thing, and he goes and prays to Vishnu. My guru's possession is damaged, please repair it. And he gets back his eyes. Because that is his guru's possession.